Grace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle from Galatians 5. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have been died for. You've been calvaried, if you will, in the bloody and beaten and sin-bearing dead body that hangs on the tree that achieved salvation for you and for the world. Yes, that's Jesus. That Good Friday salvation was also bestowed on you through the preaching of the gospel and in holy baptism, which Scripture calls the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. You have been faithed by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of forgiveness for Christ's sake. You are a Christian. You are a new creation in Christ, set free with the freedom that the Good Friday of Christ's forgiveness brings. So now what? How are you then, the Christian, to live? How are you to use the forgiveness, the freedom forgiveness that Jesus has given you? Well, what's the answer? Well, usually the answer goes like this. Well, Reverend, now I can do anything I want. I can do whatever feels good for me or to me. I can do whatever I like, whatever I desire, what benefits me and what empowers me. I can live selfishly, self-centeredly. But that's not freedom. I tell you, that is slavery. Living under the tyrannical law of living only for the self is bondage, because the self becomes an idol, a false god. It's not life, it's death. Selfish living expresses itself very concretely and quite obviously in, as the text says, the acts of the sinful nature or the old Adam. St. Paul gives a laundry list in the epistle today. And the majority of the black robes on the Supreme Court apparently relished the opportunity to legalize the desires and acts of the sinful nature. Living for the self gets exhibited, as the epistle says, in sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You know, like the Kardashian family. You know, everybody is desperately trying to be like the Kardashians, like Kim and her lover, Kanye, or like The Bachelor, or like The Bachelorette, living only for the self. Have you watched this? That's how it goes. They live only for themselves, their desires, and for their gratification. Conceited, provocative, envious, devouring each other. Watch the Kardashians. Keeping up with the card. They just devour each other, destroying each other. Gratification of the self, 24/7, 365, as if that's what it means to live a happy life. To live Kardashianly, bachelorly, or bachelorettely is not what it means to be a Christian, just the opposite. The Christian uses her freedom in Christ or her forgiveness in Christ to fight against her old sinful nature daily. The Christian life is the daily search and destroy mission of using God's word against the old Adam's false preaching of self-gratification. God has his say, and his say is this. Listen to the text again. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Instead, the text says, crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Did you hear that? You can't get any more radical than that. The old Adam, that is to say, your sinful nature, is to be put to death, crucified, not reformed, not domesticated, not retrained, but killed. And, you know, this is where all of us have failed miserably. And this, too, is where the church has lost her way. Because you can no longer tell the difference between Christians, the church, and the Kardashians. We are no longer salt in the world, and we are no longer light for the world. The old Adam now lives as Lord, and we purposely try to live outside of our baptisms and Christ's cross. Seriously. Seriously. I mean, why should anyone become a Christian when Christianity is no different than the world? Why be a Christian when the church is just like Hollywood, nothing more than entertainment and the gratification of selfish desires? Why join the church when too many of her bishops and pastors give permission for infanticide and encourage you to bow your knees and give your amens to the Mount Olympus-like decisions of five divinity impersonators in black robes to indulge in every kind of deviant sexual practice, including same-sex unions. And what's worse is by these decisions, they exclude sinners and their sin from the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won on Good Friday. It's no wonder then that the church, her preachers, and the few that take the time to sit in the musty pews are a laughingstock in this country. After all, most of the so-called Christians in this country are just simply useful idiots, dupes, or lackeys for the world's agenda. And so it's no wonder that very few take the church or her preaching seriously at all. So what are we to do? The first thing we'd better do is we'd better repent. It is time for us to confess our sin, as well as the sin of those in authority who violate God's will in their vocations. It is time for us to die to our sin and to trust God's word. This is the Christian life. We are to look in the mirror of God's word, his commandments, and his promise of forgiveness in the gospel. And it's time for us to do what? To daily go to war against our sin and our sinful nature. And this is mortal combat to the death. No truce, no compromise. If you refuse to be a Christian in this way, if you insist on indulging your sinful nature and gratifying the old Adam's wicked desires, then I warn you, as Paul does in the text, he says quite clearly that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Really? It's what the text says. So this is very serious. It's salvation serious. I'm not going to spin it. I'm not going to massage it. You can lose your salvation when you insist on it. In other words, when you will not repent and believe, or when you give the old Adam free rein, total control, like a Kardashian or Supreme Court blank check, or when you will no longer use your baptism to fight against your sin, and when you refuse to use Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And so I say to you what St. Paul says in the text. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit. In other words, put the old Adam to death. Repent of your sin and believe in Jesus for forgiveness. Listen again to the text. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And that's when you are truly free. After all, when you're not living idolatrously for yourself, you are then what? You are free then to live outside of yourself, to live for other people, to be a little Christ for other people, to serve other people and not to be served. Again, the text says, serve one another in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the good use that the Lord has for you, his died for and forgiven people. The good tree of faith in Jesus bears fruit in your life, naturally. Your baptism into Christ has its way with you. The Holy Spirit quietly rolls up his sleeves and uses you for the good of your neighbor. You come to church because you want to. You want to uplift and encourage your fellow believers and your family with your presence, your confession, your faith, and your praise of Jesus. You want to help your spouse. You want to be a faithful spouse. You want to help your children. You want to do your work faithfully. You bear the insults of your enemy. You suffer the hatred of the world for confessing Christ. In other words, you want to live according to God's word. This is living and walking by the Spirit. Now, as a side note, the world's hatred and persecution against you and the Christ you confess, that's coming very soon, faster than you could ever imagine in America, because the divine mob of five black robes has set the table for it. These divines have authoritatively and infallibly proclaimed that indulging the sinful nature is a natural, civil, and American constitutional right. And to oppose these black robes that love to play the role of God, no, replace God with what they define as good and evil, you will earn their wrath. One of the black robes insinuated this week that you Christians who stand only for marriage between a man and a woman are the scum of the earth, the most hate-filled people in the world, that you are essentially, I quote, enemies of the human race, end quote. Now, do you realize what these black robes will do to enemies of the human race? He's talking about you. Now, in the meantime, your desire to live according to God's word is the way of the Holy Spirit. The text calls it fruit. Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit happens. Fruit of the Spirit flows from faith in Jesus, the Jesus who died for you, who forgives real-life sinners. And with the fruit of the Spirit, there's no scorekeeping. The text says against such things there is no law. There's no bookkeeping. There's no comparisons. Don't even go there. You don't say, well, I'm more gentle than he is. We don't do that. The Spirit produces fruit when and where it pleases him in those who hear the gospel and are baptized. So, brothers and sisters, you're died for, you are forgiven, you are a new creation in Christ, you have been set free. To do what? To live for your neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a Holy Spirit-filled life. Again, the text says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Free to do two things: fight against your sinful nature and to live for other people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Apostles' Creed.